The scripture this morning is from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 9 of Jeremiah, verses 23 to 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Hear the very words of God. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Church, let's pray. Father, this morning, as we gather in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we do so realizing that to come here is such a privilege because we get to boast about you. We get to see and know without a doubt that you are our refuge, our fortress, our rock. Father, would you show us today through your word as your spirit teaches us and guides us that all of these truths are so beautiful and that we can proclaim the greatness of your name through them in this place and outside this place. So Jesus, would your name be exalted in this time? Amen. You may be seated. Well, in case you don't know me, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. Pastor Dan is on vacation, so it's a privilege for me to come and share the Word of God with you. And so today, we're going to take a little detour off of the prayer series that Pastor Dan has been preaching on for the last several weeks. And we're going to look at this truth about boasting only in Christ, taking an Old Testament scripture and seeing Christ in it. And so we'll take that detour today. And I wanted to introduce this message not only with the title of Boasting Only in Christ, but to start this message with some boasting that man does and some circumstances and events that you may remember in history. These are events where people boasted in themselves, not in Christ. In 1912, the Titanic was boasted as an unsinkable ship. On its maiden voyage, though, 4 days after it left Southampton, England, for New York, it hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic and sank. In 1957, Ford Motor Company introduced a car called the Edsel, and it was boasted as the car of the future. Within 2 years, the Edsel was discontinued because it was a flop. And in 1941, the United States boasted of its naval base in Pearl Harbor. On December 7th of that year, a day that will live in infamy, on that day, the naval base was almost completely destroyed by an enemy attack. And in fact, David M. Kennedy, in his book Freedom from Fear, said this about the attack, and you can hear the arrogance and the boasting, the pride in our Americanism. Says this: many Americans instinctively believed that an inferior power like Japan could not possibly have inflicted such damage on the United States. Yes, indeed, boasting is man's nature. It's something we all do to one degree or another. Boasting in ourselves means that we're desperate for self. Let me say that again. Boasting in ourselves means we're desperate for self. We want to be noticed. We want to be recognized. We want to be number one. According to Scripture, though, boasting in self-pride and arrogance is evil. We're proud of such things as our wisdom, our strength, our wealth. It's a way of measuring our status among others. We can be prideful and arrogant in our boasting, even about our jobs, our families, or how much stuff we have, and we don't even know we're doing that. In fact, if we're not careful, we can boast in the church about our theology, our worship songs, even our new chairs. Boasting in self makes us feel good about ourselves because we think we're somebody. We're elevated above others. But take a look at what John Piper says, author, pastor, and founder of Desiring God Ministries. Dr. Piper says this, quote, "We weren't meant to be somebody. We were meant to know somebody. We weren't meant to be somebody. We were meant to know somebody." So think about this, church. The beautiful scripture from Jeremiah chapter 9. God talking about the greatest thing ever, boasting in Him, knowing Him. That's the theme of the text of this message today. And since knowing God is reason to boast, the Bible says do that. Boast in the Lord. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And since knowing God is reason to boast, it's also reason to love and trust Him as a child would love and trust their daddy. And knowing God is to delight in Jesus and to be desperate to know Him. That's the overarching theme of this message. Boasting in anything or anyone else will simply well up pride and arrogance in ourselves, which is sin. In Jeremiah's day, that's what God's message was to His people through the prophet Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah angered the religious leaders of his day. They were more in love with themselves than with God. But God wants His people to look to Himself as their delight because of His steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. All of those things are who Jesus is. And we're in desperate need of boasting in Him instead of ourselves. So with all that said, what does it look like then to boast only in Christ? What does that look like? Is that even possible to do in a world that is so self-absorbed? So here's the three points I want us to take away from this message today, from this beautiful scripture of Jeremiah chapter 9. Three points. Number one, that boasting in ourselves means we're desperate for self. We want to be at the top. We want to be noticed. Number two, boasting in God means knowing Daddy, Abba, Father. And third, delighting in Jesus means that we're desperate for Him and not ourselves. If you think about it, God's message to His people through Jeremiah over 2,500 years ago of treasuring Himself above themselves is still pertinent for us today. God wants us to see ourselves as desperate for Him. God desires for us to know Him and to delight in Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the preeminent person of God's love, justice, and righteousness. We are to boast in Christ alone and no one else, not even ourselves, because when we boast in ourselves, we are desperate for self. And that brings us to the first point. Boasting in ourselves means we're desperate for self. In the Old Testament, God specifically says numerous times, as our Verse 23 in chapter 9 of Jeremiah started out, "Thus says the Lord." Now think about this. That implies that there's something really, really important that God wants to say. And listening to God and obeying His commands is imperative for life and godliness. In this case, in our scripture today, God is emphasizing the fact that boasting in self is not what life is all about. Let's take a look again at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Verse 23 of chapter 9. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches." When we boast in self, we further the kingdom of me. Did you ever think about that? We worship ourselves. We make much of our name instead of much of Jesus' name. Think about your own life. If you're a believer in Christ, who do you boast in most? Yourself, something else, or Jesus? You've heard of the joy principle, haven't you? J-O-Y, joy. Jesus first. Others second, yourself last. That's what the Christian life is all about. Jesus being supreme, others even above ourselves, and then we're last. On the other hand, maybe you employ the you principle, Y-O-U. Do you know what that is? I do that all too often. Y-O-U is this: yourself first, others second, and I've got this, Jesus. I've got this. Think about that. It's all about Y-O-U. It's all about you. It's all about furthering the kingdom of self. It's all about ourselves in first place instead of Jesus. Or for that matter, anyone else. In a September 2014 Our Daily Bread devotional, Joe Stoll, pastor, author, and former president of Moody Bible Institute, related the story of his 7-year-old daughter asking, "Dad, are we famous?" You ever had your son or daughter ask you that? And he replied, "No, Libby, we're not famous." And she thought for a moment and then said rather indignantly, "Well, we should be if more people knew about us. And isn't that us? If more people knew about us and the way we do things, the world would be a lot better." You see, even a 7-year-old has a desperate need for boasting, and that's pride, that's arrogance. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to have reason to boast. In fact, he had reason to brag about his Jewish upbringing. He had reason to boast in his righteousness in keeping the law as a Pharisee and his zeal for persecuting the church. However, when Paul was rescued from sin and from himself on the road to Damascus, everything changed. He boasted in Christ instead of himself. Here's what Paul, inspired by God, wrote in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Indeed, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord makes anything else pale in comparison. Boasting in our wisdom, our strength, and our wealth is to be considered rubbish, sewage, garbage, compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. When we realize this truth, we begin to apprehend just how desperate we are for knowing God. And not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him as Father, Daddy, Abba Father, and the word Abba being the Aramaic word for daddy. And that brings us to point number two. Boasting in God means knowing Daddy. As mentioned a few moments ago, the greatest thing in life is knowing God and boasting in Him. Nothing can be better than that. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him in a relationship as a father to a son or a daughter. There's an intimacy knowing God as father and friend that mere knowledge about Him cannot compare with. So let's take a look again here at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. God says, and this is so beautiful, grasp this, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In the Westminster Catechism, there's a question that asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer to that question is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever is an example of what we're talking about today. Knowing God, loving God. And knowing Him means to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It means knowing the Holy Spirit and His indwelling power. Nothing can be better than that. And knowing God as Daddy and knowing about Him are two totally different things. Listen closely. I could come to church for every Sunday for decades. I could sing the worship songs. I could listen to the preaching and still not know God. I could memorize hundreds of Bible verses. I could attend men's ministry in a small group and still only know about Him. Knowing God, really knowing Him, involves an intimate, loving, and trusting relationship as a father is to a son or daughter. Now, over a half century ago, when I was 11 years old, I attended a basketball camp at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. And being the homebody that I am, I was really ready to go home at the end of the week. And on Saturday morning, I can remember it like it was yesterday, I could hear footsteps coming down the hallway. And without even seeing who it was, I knew whose footsteps those were. It was my daddy coming to take me home. That's how well I know my dad. I know my dad loves me. I can trust my dad, and I delight in him. And in a similar fashion, knowing Abba, Father, Daddy, God, means knowing, loving, savoring, and trusting Him through Christ. That's the Christian life. It gives us reason to say, let me tell you about my dad. There's no one like him. And a few years ago, Andrew LeClaire, who is our worship leader today and also substitute preaches here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, he had a sermon that included that very thing there. He asked the rhetorical question, have you seen my dad? Andrew's point was, there's no one like him. There's no one like God. No one protects his children better than Dad when sin, Satan, and society pull at his kids. There's no one like Dad to turn to when life is painful and you're struggling with such issues as job loss, health issues, or family problems. Daddy is greater than all of the pleasures of the world that we could ever boast in. Things like money, security, popularity. Have you seen my dad? There's nobody like him. And here's one more reason why knowing Abba Father, Daddy, is worth bragging and boasting about. Let's take a look at Psalm 89, verse 14. Again, a beautiful, beautiful scripture, as they all are. Psalm 89, verse 14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Remember, knowing God is an intimate, love-laden relationship, not a well-polished religion of do's and don'ts. And here's something very important. And to know God is to know Christ. Through God's great love, grace, and mercy found in Christ, He and He alone provides the gift of eternal life to all who receive Jesus through grace alone, by faith alone. Church, that's the good news message of the cross. God practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. That's who He is. He delights in those things. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is, because He is God. And I want you to see that right from Scripture, that Jesus is God. Take a look, first of all, here at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. God says, for in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And then from Hebrews chapter 1, the first part of verse 3, He, Jesus, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Think about that today, church. Christ is upholding the universe. That includes you and me. Even in your most difficult situation, Christ is holding you fast. That you are trusting in Him as friend, Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. The Lord Jesus truly is the fullness, the radiance, and the exact imprint of God's nature. Sam Crabtree, teacher, pastor, and board chairman at Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, says this, quote, Jesus is not merely the echo of God, He is God, end quote. And since He is God, there's a desperate reason to delight in Jesus, because He is everything. And that brings us to our third and final point. Delighting in Jesus means that we're desperate for Him and not ourselves. In our text today, God says that He delights in love, justice, and righteousness. Therefore, He delights in His Son, the Lord Jesus, because He is all of those things. And if you're trusting Jesus as your only hope for today and for all eternity, God delights in you. Did you hear that? God delights in you because of Jesus. Christ's righteousness has been credited to you, believer, by God in His grace. By grace, the Holy Spirit, He has moved your heart to trust Jesus. Now think about this. Jesus is the perfect love of God displayed in the cross. Jesus is the only one in whom God's perfect love and justice intersect. Jesus is the true and perfect righteousness of God. And by his righteousness, sinners like you and I can come to the Father with empty hands. Not boasting in our wealth, not boasting in our wisdom, not boasting in our strength, but boasting only in Christ. Church, that's reason to delight in God. Are you doing that today? Am I doing that today? And that's reason for desperately delighting in Jesus. But let me give a warning here. Listen to this. Desperately delighting in Jesus means things are going to get costly for self. In other words, accepting the cost of boasting in Christ results in a downgrade of self. It means living the joy principle instead of the you principle. Boasting in Jesus and delighting in Him can be dangerous. In some places, delighting in Christ and knowing Him means your church building could be burned down. It can mean abandonment, torture, imprisonment, and even death. Just ask Christians in parts of Asia, Africa, or the Middle East. Do you delight in Jesus? Are you desperate for Him today? Do you boast in Him as Father and friend, Savior and Lord? You remember the sinking of the Titanic that I alluded to at the beginning of the message? Well, I understand that decades after this disaster, there was an exhibit of relics from the wreckage of the ship. But there was a twist in this. Each person who came to the exhibit was given a ticket, just like the ones that people had when they got on board the Titanic in 1912. And it had the passenger's name on it. But here's the twist. On a board was listed the names of all who were on board that day. And one side was titled Rescued and the other titled Lost. And there was a line drawn between the two. Where would you want your name to be on that board? I would dare say we would all say Rescued. Sin is like a shipwreck. Deadly, tragic, disastrous. And unless we're rescued from sin, our name would certainly be in the lost column. Hopelessly lost for eternity in the deep and dark waters of God's judgment upon sin. But God made the way for sinners like us to be rescued. Jesus is the only way. He received punishment for sin on the cross. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is like a man giving up his place in a lifeboat and allowing someone else to be rescued and saved. Is that you today? Can you make that claim that you know Christ? That's the greatest thing. And get this, those who receive that gift of life in Christ by faith are set free from judgment and death and sin. To know Jesus is to be rescued. Think about that. To know Jesus is to be rescued. To not know Him or know about Him is to be lost. Which side of the line are you on today? If you don't know Him, or you just know about Him, are you desperate for Jesus to rescue you today? The Bible says, repent and believe. You can do that today by turning toward God and away from sin. That's repentance. And then trust Christ that He is who He says He is. Receive Him by faith alone and grace alone as Savior, Redeemer, and friend. You can do that now, today. Think about it. Today could be the first day that you get to boast in Jesus. Today could be the first day you get to say and really mean it, "Have you seen my dad? There's no one like my dad." And what if you're already trusting Jesus, but much like me, you're still relying on your own self? Will it be your and my wisdom, strength, and wealth that gets us through the day? Or will it be trusting and boasting in the one who is supreme over all things? After all, it's because of the Holy Spirit that we boast in Jesus as Lord. He did the work bringing us to Christ. And He'll keep working with us, through us, for us, and in spite of us to make us more like Jesus. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31 to allow this to hit home for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. "And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So as I wrap this message up today, remember the Titanic, the Edsel, and Pearl Harbor. Boasting in one's wisdom, strength, and wealth seems right, but in the end, it's actually desperation for self. And self is all about pride and arrogance, which is sin. On the other hand, boasting in God and knowing Him means knowing the Lord Jesus and loving Him more than self. The Holy Spirit reveals the truths of knowing God in Christ through His Word and knowing Him intimately as the relationship of a father to a son or a daughter. That's an example of what it means to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And to know Jesus and boast in Him as friend, elder brother, Savior, and Lord is to know love, justice, and righteousness. God delights in those things, church. That's why God delights in His Son. That's why God delights in those who delight in Jesus. And that's why ambassadors for Christ are needed to share the gospel message on this planet. Whether you're sharing with your next door neighbor at his or her house, or in the jungles of Ghana, Africa, Jesus Christ is to be boasted in. Within this broken and sin-shattered world of such despair, chaos, and self-absorption, there's an urgent need for boasting only in Christ. How will you and I serve the Lord to meet that need? So in conclusion, I want you to picture a pond, and if you're here today listening, you can see the picture here on the wall. If you're at home or wherever you are listening to this audibly, picture in your mind a pond with ripples emanating from a center. And think of the center of that ripple effect as boasting in Christ alone, and not ourselves. Christ is at the center, not ourselves. And the ripples that go out from the center are ripples of love, justice, and righteousness. And they're emanating from the very Lord Himself, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, emanating from Jesus and impacting the world for His glory and the good of His people. And with the Spirit the Holy Spirit's guidance, we cannot help. We cannot help but proclaim the excellencies of His name. We cannot help but turn our eyes to Jesus, realizing our desperate need to delight in Him, to enjoy Him forever, and only boast in Him. Nothing can be better than that. Let's pray. Father God, boasting only in You, the greatest thing there could be in the entire universe. That's what life is all about, boasting in You and knowing You. And yet, Father, we boast in our wisdom. We boast in our strength, our wealth, more than in Your love, justice, and righteousness. Father, today my prayer for Your church here in La Crescent is to turn our boasting in self upside down, blow it up, and tune our hearts to knowing You as our greatest treasure. Nothing can be better than that. Amen.